From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to a Faith and Freedom edition of Washington Watch. This is where we step back from the politics and the policies that we talk about every day, and we focus on the personal side, talking the role that faith plays in the lives of the men and women who you have sent to Washington, D.C., and other positions of government around the country to represent you. And I kind of like this, quite frankly, because it allows us to just hear people's stories, kind of what led them to the position that they're in, how God worked in their lives. You know, we've heard some remarkable stories of just how God has been at work and is at work, and we really never take the time to talk about those things. You know how that is. I mean, you might be somebody sitting in front of you in church, and you've never really heard their story. But it's powerful to hear how God is at work in and around us, in the lives of the people we know. And so this is why I kind of enjoy this Faith and Freedom edition of Washington Watch. And today we've got two very special guests. We're going to be hearing in a moment. We'll be hearing from Debbie Lesko, Congresswoman from Arizona. We'll be hearing from her a little bit later. But first, I'm going to introduce you to Michael Guest. He has distinguished himself by extraordinary service in advancing the rule of law, in line with his Christian faith. He is from Mississippi. He grew up in a Christian home. He and his wife, Haley, longtime residents of Rankin County, Mississippi. They have two sons. Michael serves as a Sunday school teacher and a deacon at Brandon Baptist Church. After earning a law degree from the University of Mississippi, Michael served 14 years as an assistant district attorney and then 11 years as district attorney for Madison and Rankin counties. In 2008, he introduced the DA's most wanted list, leading to the capture of many dangerous criminals. Now, throughout his career, Michael has taken a strong stand against illegal immigration and the flow of illegal drugs coming across America's southern border. Michael Guest was elected to Congress as a Republican in 2018, despite the so-called blue wave that year. In his first year in Congress, he got his bill, the Terrorist and Foreign Fighter Travel Exercise Act, through Democrat-controlled U.S. House, and it was signed into law by President Trump. Now, when he first got to Congress, he joined the Congressional Prayer Caucus. He is an outspoken believer, outspoken about his Christian faith, and unapologetic in his acknowledgement that a biblical worldview is what drives his beliefs, his actions, and his votes. He serves on the Committee for Homeland Security, the Foreign Affairs Committee, and the Ethics Committee. Earlier this year, he was awarded the Family Research Council Action's True Blue Award for upholding pro-life, pro-family, pro-religious freedom legislation in this year. And so now we welcome Congressman Michael Guest to the program. Congressman, welcome to this Faith and Freedom edition.
Thank you for having me this evening.
Well, let's talk real basic about faith and your Christian faith. You've been outspoken about it, but how important is that to you in terms of where you are right now as a member of Congress?
You know, as you know, not only as a member of Congress, but just as an everyday person, you know, I think that our faith has such an impact on us each and every day. The decisions that we make, the way that we choose to live our lifestyle, the people that we choose to associate with, what we even watch on television, much of that is affected by our faith. And I think that every day, you know, we are challenged to live out our faith, to live in a way in which the world just thinks that we're a little bit different, that, you know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I try to strive and do each and every day, blessed with an incredible wife who is a strong Christian influence on my life, a great church family who is uplifting. I'll tell you, Tony, there's really nothing better than when I return home from Washington each weekend to be in church, to hear God's word preached, and to just be around and to fellowship with other believers. It's so uplifting. uplifting, and just really is energizing for the fight that lies ahead each and every week.
Well, it's also nice to be back with normal people.
That's exactly right. I tell everyone that I see, it's nice to be around folks from Mississippi who have morals and values and common sense, those things that are sometimes in short supply in Washington, D.C.
Well, you can say that, brother. Let me ask you about this, because you've grown up in a Christian home, so you've been exposed to it. But share with our listeners a little bit about your personal journey to Christ and that point where you chose to walk with him.
You know, I was fortunate in that I grew up in a Christian home. I had two parents who were strong believers. They took myself and my sister to church. We were those members that were at church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, involved in youth activities. And so very early on when I was in elementary school, I actually walked the aisle, but really did not make that profession of faith until I was in high school. I thought I was a Christian because I had grown up in a Christian home, had gone to church, but really, you know, when I walked the aisle, I really wasn't old enough really to make that decision and understand that to be a Christian involves more than just going to church and walking down the aisle and being baptized. And so my junior year in high school, we were on a youth retreat. The pastor there was talking about what it really entailed to give your life to Christ, to make him your Lord and Savior, became convicted that I had not done that. And even though I claimed to be a Christian, that I had never asked God for forgiveness for my sins, that I had never asked him to be my Lord and Savior. So that night during that service, I prayed that prayer. I walked down, made known to my youth minister and the other members of our youth group the decision that I made. And then since that time, you know, I have tried to live a life that will bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. Now, I've not always succeeded. I want you to know that, you know, there have been times in my life where I have gotten off track, gotten away from my close walk with God, but have always returned back during those times, whether it be college or very early in life before I got married, have always returned back to that upbringing and know that I have a God that loves me, that a God that will forgive me of my sins, and that though nowhere close to perfect, that he will always be with me.
Congressman, one of the things I usually ask in this faith and family, or this faith and freedom edition, is when you came to Congress, because it's interesting, most people do not equate or associate Congress and people of strong Christian faith. I mean, what is it? The perception is that Congress is bad, politics is bad, but I've watched it over the last 17 years and the number of believers that have been called here to Washington to serve. What was your first impression when you got to Washington and you saw so many other men and women who love the Lord Jesus Christ? Did that surprise you?
You know, it did. You know, I had the same attitude about Congress that I'm sure many of your listeners do, that it is a place that is a very ungodly place. But very early, once I arrived at Congress, I was able to associate myself with other believers, joined a small Bible study, myself and several other members, and then some staff members that we were meeting regularly before COVID-19. Weekly, we were meeting to pray about the business of our country. We were there to uplift one another. You know, one of the things that, you know, people often forget about is, you know, the fact that you're away from your family so much. And so, you know, it is often difficult on members of Congress who don't move their family to Washington, and more members do not do that. And I chose not to move my family. I wanted them to continue to live the life that they were used to in Mississippi. And so to have someone there to uplift you, to keep you accountable, was something that I wanted. And so it was very refreshing to find a group of other believers who felt the same way, that I was able to share with, that we were able to pray together, and that we were able to hold one another accountable.
I agree. You know, I've made the same decision 17 years ago when I went to Washington at the Family Research Council to commute. In fact, I'm on the plane with many of the guys I used to serve with in the Louisiana legislature, Steve Scalise and others. We fly back together. And it can be a challenge, but it's been really good. The Lord has blessed us and our family, and I know that's in large part because of the prayer that others continue to pray for us. And I want to ask you about that in terms of the prayers. I'm sure that you hear it when you're at church on Sunday, people telling you that they pray for you, they pray for your family. What do you find most encouraging about your service as a member of Congress?
I guess having the ability, you know, to serve my community, having the ability to help, you know, members of my district, maybe not necessarily with legislation that we're passing in Washington, D.C., but being able to help them with issues that they are having with some other federal agency, you know, whether it may be something that they're having an issue with the VA, or they're having trouble with someone who's in some sort of nursing home facility that is a Medicare, Medicaid issue. And so, you know, I will tell you, you know, one of the greatest joys I've had is through some of the work that we've been able to do in our district office, how we're able to help people that are truly, you know, at wit's end. You know, often we're the last people to get the call. So they've tried to solve the issue themselves. They've gone to other people. And we are at times a measure of last resort. And so to be able to at times call people and say, we have been able to help resolve this issue, and just to hear the relief in their voice that someone is listening to their concerns, that someone is advocating on their behalf, is something that is truly uplifting. But you know, you talked a few minutes ago, you know, about prayer and the power of prayer, and I will tell you that is something that I covet, that my family covets, that really, you know, we would ask that your listeners continue to pray daily for their elected leaders, Republicans, Democrats, you know, that we would do what is best for the country, and that we would conduct our business in a manner that, you know, again, brings honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. I think oftentimes, you know, we don't conduct ourselves in that manner, and we conduct ourselves in a very divisive manner. And so, you know, I would love to see that there be some civility returned to Washington, D.C., that even though Republicans and Democrats may agree on issues and how those issues should be resolved, that we can talk about those issues, that we can sit down across the table with one another, and we can do so with the best interests of the American people at heart.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons we should be praying for all of our leaders. The scripture tells us to do that. Congressman Michael Guest, we're up against a break, but we're going to come back. So you stay put right there. And folks, you do the same, because we're going to finish our conversation with Congressman Guest on the other side of this break. So don't go away. More to come. Are you concerned with the state of our nation? And when looking at what's going on in our culture, do you wonder, what can I do? For the past 15 years, FRC Action has hosted Values Voter Summit, an event for people like you who want to shape the culture so that all human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. And this Values Voter Summit is going viral, so everyone can tune in and be encouraged to pray, to vote, and to stand in these significant times. Past speakers included President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Dr. Ben Carson, and Dana Lash. Register today for your free digital pass and join us virtually from September the 22nd to the 25th from 8 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org. Don't miss out. Remember, pray, vote, stand.
Since the 1973 Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision, Congress and many states have taken various actions to stop taxpayer dollars from funding abortions or the abortion industry. As early as 1976, Congressman Henry Hyde led the effort to ban federal funding for abortions. The Federal Hyde Amendment, named after him, established the principle that abortion is not health care, and therefore taxpayers should not be forced to fund abortions. Despite these efforts, the abortion industry still receives millions of dollars each year in taxpayer money. In 2019, Planned Parenthood, America's largest abortion provider, received $616.8 million in government funds. Family Research Council's newly updated pro-life map tracks how your state has taken action to stop taxpayer funding of abortions. Go to frc.org/pro-life maps to see where your state stands in the fight for life. That's frc.org/pro-life maps. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Hannah.
What's going on? Why so gloomy?
Well, I'm a little disappointed. I had a lot planned to do during the stay-at-home time, and I just didn't do it.
Oh, yeah? What did you have planned that you didn't get to do?
Well, I was actually hoping I would finally be able to get time to do a regular Bible reading routine, and I started a couple of times. I just didn't stick with it.
Don't be too down on yourself. Starting a new routine can be hard, but one way to help is to join in with others and to have a good game plan. I think I have a good solution for you.
Oh, yeah?
Tony Perkins and FRC are doing a 2-year study in the Word. They have it all mapped out.
When did they start? I would be so far behind.
Oh, that's not a problem. You can literally jump in anytime. There's a daily reading, just a couple of chapters a day, with questions to help you think about what you're reading.
Nice. Where can I find this?
Go to frc.org/Bible, and you can get started.
Where's that again?
frc.org/Bible.
Got it. Checking it out now.
I'm Tony Perkins, and this is the Faith and Freedom edition of Washington Watch. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, find out more. And you can also take the challenge there to pray, to vote, and to stand. Pray, vote, and stand. Pray for our country. Vote your biblical values and stand for truth. Will you take the pledge? Will you take the challenge? Go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, we're talking with Congressman Michael Guest of Mississippi, discussing the role of faith in politics and in government. And Michael, let me ask you this question. You've held office before you came to Congress, but many people, and I'm sure you hear it, you know, people say, "What politics? Why would you get in that? You're a good man. You're a Christian. Why would you get involved in politics?" So tell us about how you were led to enter into the arena of political office.
You know, God just opened doors in my life. I finished law school, and my last semester of law school, Tony, I had an internship that I did in the local prosecutor's office for some college credit that would then finish up what I needed to graduate. While at that office, I was also studying for the bar, and there was a young lady in our office who was set to go on maternity leave, and so I went then to the elected DA at the time, asked him if he would consider keeping me on a part-time basis until she returned so that I could keep up her work there in the DA's office. And while I was there, I would also be allowed to study during the day, study at night for the bar examination. And so while she was out, I took the bar, passed the bar exam, and got my results right about the time she got ready to come back. And by that time, I had been in the prosecutor's office for close to a year between my time in the internship and my time studying for the bar. I went back to my boss and asked him if he would consider hiring me on a full-time basis. And he said, look, I just don't have any money in my budget to do that. And so I asked him if I was able to help find some funds, would he use those funds to pay my salary? And he agreed. And so I went to our local county board of supervisors. I knew several members of the board from church. I knew them from working previously in the county and was able to convince them, to lobby them, if you will, to increase the budget of the DA's office by $24,000. And so I started off in the DA's office as a young lawyer right out of law school, making $24,000 a year. But I just knew that that was a position that I wanted to serve. And so I was there. I worked very diligently to work my way up from an entry level to a staff attorney to an assistant DA position. And then when my boss I was working with at the time decided not to run, was able actually to run and to win the DA position. And so, you know, I just felt like that those were doors that God opened by, one, putting me there for that externship, for opening up a position that I was able to take. And then by allowing me to run and to be successful to serve in that office. And so, you know, I truly believe that God has a path for us, a path set before us. We just have to be faithful and follow God's will for our life. And so, you know, I know that isn't always easy, that often we want to get ahead of God and we want to know exactly what the future holds. And God doesn't promise us that we're going to know that. And he doesn't promise us success, but I believe that when we trust in him, that he opens those doors. He puts us where he wants us to be. I was also fortunate that my predecessor in this office was someone that I had known for a long period of time, also a great Christian.
He was a good friend.
Greg Harper is an amazing man. He served in Congress for 10 years. He was, again, a very strong Christian influence. And when Greg got ready to leave this office that he was serving in, he actually, you know, talked to me about whether or not I had any interest in serving in Congress. And because of his influence, I started reaching out, praying about, you know, what the right decision was for my life. Should I stay in the prosecutor's office, or something that I had done for 25 years and really felt like that I really knew how that office should run, or did God have something else in mind for me? And so my wife and I, my family, we prayed about it, we talked about it, and we ultimately came to a peace that this was a door that God was opening, and if he wanted us to serve, then we would be successful in the elections leading up to that point, we were able to run a good campaign. And again, we wanted to run a campaign that brought honor and glory to God. We didn't want to run a negative campaign. We didn't want to run a campaign that we were attacking other individuals in the race. We wanted to run a campaign that was positive, focusing on things we wanted to do, but we also wanted to include our faith in that campaign. Mm-hmm. And God blessed us in that endeavor, and so we were able to be victorious. And, you know, so far, you know, we have tried to live up to those promises. And one of those promises that we made the people is that, you know, we wanted to make them proud of the way that we held ourselves out, and that we were not going to be ashamed of our Christian faith. You know, we post a Bible verse up every Sunday on our social media page for everyone to see. We get many positive comments about that, but you also have people who are negative about that. And but we're not going to allow people to affect our faith. That's part of who we are. And if it comes to the point to where the people of my district choose not to send me back because, you know, I'm going to talk about my faith, then I'm prepared to go home and prepared to seek other things that God may have in store for me.
And I think that's the way we have to approach it. Just as you said, the doors open, we walk through them, but we trust God to lead us every step of the way. And if he has other plans for us, he'll open other doors for us. Congressman Michael Guest, thank you so much for taking time to share with our listeners today.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for your ministry and all that you do.
All right. Look forward to seeing you soon. Congressman Michael Guest, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, don't go away. Coming back after the break, Congresswoman Debbie Lesko of Arizona joins us with her story. That's next.
Oh, man.
What's wrong?
I just missed Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, and our congressman was going to be on the show today.
Oh, that's not a big deal.
What do you mean?
Well, you can always catch the replay of the day's show.
How's that?
With the Stand Firm app.
Yeah?
Yep, you can catch that day's program and so much more. You can contact your elected officials on campaigns and policies that are important to you with the Take Action tab. You can listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins live and play previous episodes while conveniently going about your day. You can access the Washington Update, informative blogs, tweets, and critical campaigns on the main feed, so you can stay up to date on local and national news.
Wow, I'd definitely use that. How do you find the app?
Just visit frc.org/app and download, or search Stand Firm in the App Store.
Okay, that's Stand Firm.
Yep, Stand Firm.
How do you know all this?
Because I'm a SageCon, but that's another story.
Huh?
As churches consider gathering again, they should develop plans to reopen and operate according to the guidance of the CDC, along with state and local guidance that does not violate the First Amendment and other religious freedom protections. Family Research Council has a helpful resource with best practices and tips for churches and places of worship to consider when crafting their reopening plans. Romans 13 instructs Christians to be subject to the governing authorities. The civil authorities have a difficult task ahead, and we should seek to be a part of the solution through cooperation and service to our communities. Some states and authorities like Nevada and California are treating religious entities more restrictively than non-religious entities. But as long as restrictions are temporary, applied equally to religious and non-religious gatherings alike, and there is a good reason for putting them in place, government restrictions are not likely to violate religious freedom protections. To learn more and to view this resource, visit frc.org/churchguidelines.
Welcome back to this Faith and Freedom edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter or Parler, it is @TPerkins. As promised, joining us is Debbie Lesko. She represents the 8th Congressional District of Arizona. Been there since 2018. Prior to that, she was in the Arizona House of Representatives for 6 years and then the Arizona Senate for 3 years, where she served as the Senate President Pro Tem and Chairman of the Appropriations Committee, a very influential spot in state politics. Debbie found her breakout moment last December when she passionately defended President Trump against the Democrats' trumped-up impeachment charges. She expresses the same passion in her defense of pro-life, pro-woman legislation and pro-family legislation. She is an advocate for women in vulnerable situations, having experienced in her past domestic abuse herself. She is a member of the Advisory Council to the Faith House Domestic Violence Shelter in Arizona. She is co-chair of the U.S. House Working Group to End Domestic Violence, co-chair of the Victims' Rights Caucus, and co-chair of the Bipartisan Congressional Caucus on Women's Issues. She serves on the House Rules Committee, Judiciary Committee, and Homeland Security Committee, and most importantly, She is a woman of deep, abiding faith and often is out front leading on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Debbie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me, Tony.
Well, I kind of wanted to just jump right into this. We've got a few minutes to talk, but, you know, one of the questions I ask, because so often, you know, we deal with the politics and the policies, but really not the what's behind it, that what is motivating people. And I just want to start with kind of your faith journey and what led you to this point and how it's impacted your life.
Well, I'm a total believer that God led me to this point, and I give full credit to him. Even when I got elected for the first time to the U.S. Congress, I think the first thing I said is, thank you to God, because he's the one that led me here. You know, I started out as a Catholic, so I was raised a Catholic, went to church with my family each and every Sunday. But back then, at least at my church, we didn't read the Bible. And so I'm kind of at a disadvantage to other Christians who have memorized the books of the Bible. I still have to go to the front, to the index, or actually I use my phone. It's a lot easier because I don't know all the orders of the books in the Bible. And we just didn't study it when I was Catholic. But you know, I went on this journey, and I was Catholic and until I was an adult, left church for a while, was wandering around, probably was not saved, quite honestly, till I was in my 40s, and it was at a Lutheran church. And I joined a small Bible group and really started to understand that that it was grace that saved me. For whatever reason, when I was raised as a Catholic, I thought it was works. I thought you only got to heaven through works. And it wasn't till I joined this small Bible group in a Lutheran church in my neighborhood in Peoria, Arizona, that I realized that that was wrong. And isn't that funny? It took me 40-some years. But then, you know, then I've moved a bit. I went to a Baptist church in Arizona, got rebaptized because I was baptized as an infant in the Catholic Church, got rebaptized as an adult. And that was quite the scene because it was a big church and they had a jumbotron. And they showed me professing publicly my faith in Christ. And then got baptized in a pool in the church. And anyway, it you know, God, Jesus Christ, is very important to where I am now and what I believe in every day.
And Debbie, I want to – we're almost up against a break, but I want to talk about in that journey how – you know, Scripture says that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. And you know, in your life's journey, you ran into difficulty. You were in an abusive relationship, and that has God is using that has used that to help you be more empathetic and to be a voice for others that are being abused. And I want to talk about that, how God redeems everything in our past. He can take it and he can use it for good. And then I also want to talk about that decision-making process that led you to enter into politics, because that's one that so many Christians find intriguing, because we have this perception that politics bad and we got to stay away from it. So I want to talk about that. So Debbie, hang on, and we're going to come back on the other side of this break. Folks, I want to encourage you to hang on as well as we continue our conversation with Congresswoman Debbie Lesko of Arizona, a great champion for the things that you and I care about so deeply. So, and by the way, if you happen to have missed any of this interview or share it, you can share it with your friends as well. It's all archived at TonyPerkins.com. So don't go away. We're coming back on the other side of this break with more of this faith and Freedom Edition of Washington Watch. Masculinity in America has never been under attack the way it is today. We've reached the point where the term itself is considered toxic or offensive to many. The consistent message in our nation is that masculinity by nature is bad and is the root cause of many of the problems plaguing our society. From his experience as a military combat officer and ordained minister of the gospel, Lieutenant General William Boykin has seen and dealt with firsthand the breakdown of leadership in our nation by the lack of godly men living lives of biblical purpose. In his latest book, Man to Man, Rediscovering Masculinity in a Challenging World, he addresses the essential elements of manhood as a provider, an instructor, a defender, a battle buddy, and a chaplain, and explains how to personally develop these traits and pass them to the next generation. Get your copy today of Man to Man wherever books are sold.
The rapidly changing moral landscape of the 21st century presents a challenge for Christians committed to biblical sexual ethics. An uprising against morality has overturned centuries of norms concerning the family, marriage, and human sexuality. Secular culture is not the only challenger of Christian sexual ethics. Increasingly, theologically liberal churches and denominations are rejecting the church's historic teaching on marriage. As a result, Christians are facing increasing pressure to compromise the Bible's teaching on human sexuality. How should Christians who are committed to God's Word respond to these challenges? What does the Bible teach about sexuality? Family Research Council has a new publication that presents the biblical principles for human sexuality. It lays out a survey of culture, scripture, and church history that will help pastors and all Christians meet modern-day challenges to biblical sexuality with truth and love. To access this publication, visit frc.org/human sexuality.
The history of the United States is preserved in archives, books, and the collective memory of the American people. It is also preserved through monuments and memorials that visually represent the extraordinary history of our nation. To tell these stories and remind ourselves of the importance of these memorials, Family Research Council has a new blog series highlighting the most recognizable and popular monuments in our nation's capital. This series devotes particular attention to the historical and spiritual themes depicted in each monument, sharing some not-so-well-known facts about their history, design, and symbolic meaning that shed light on our nation's deep religious heritage. This series aims to inspire the next generation to see the importance of these monuments and to remind us of the virtues and lessons that they memorialize. To read FRC's Monument Series, visit frcblog.org/monuments. Again, that's frcblog.org/monuments.
You're listening to the Faith and Freedom edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad that you are with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you're on Twitter, at T. Perkins. My guest, Congresswoman Debbie Lesko of Arizona. Debbie, thanks so much for spending this time with us. I want to go back, you know, on this journey. You talked about how you came to know the Lord and that journey, but along the way, you found yourself in an abusive relationship, and that in many ways shaped you. But God has restored you, put you into a wonderful marriage with, I think you have 3 children, 4 grandchildren. He's blessed you. But through that experience and that pain, you've been able to minister to others.
Yeah, I have, and it's interesting, as you say, how God leads us onto journeys. I tell you what, about 30 years ago, when I left my abusive ex-husband, you know, I really, there were times I had no money. I seriously had no money and no place to live. And I had our little daughter. And so it was tough. And the the furthest thing from my mind was that someday I would be a U.S. Congresswoman, I'll tell you that. I had this older car, it would break down, but, you know, I made it. I made it and met a wonderful husband. And so when I talk to women, actually at high schools, I talk about it fairly often because I found that after I talk about my experience of where I was and where I am now and how God has led me there, that I have people come up to me. And if it's an adult, you know, many women say they've had similar experiences. They thank me for sharing it, for talking about it. I have had teenagers in high school groups that have come up to me and, you know, they say something like, you know, this is, I'm glad you talked about it. You can tell that they're moved, that something is going on maybe in their family. And so it's touched people. And if I can help somebody get out of a relationship that is in an abusive relationship and give them hope that they can get out of it and make something of themselves, that's really my goal.
And Debbie, it's one thing to get out of an abusive relationship, although that's difficult. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do, but people can break free. But it's the healing and the restoration that really needs to take place, because you can be out of a dysfunctional relationship and still be broken and hurting. But what was the role of that relationship with God that brought you to that, to the fullness of the healing, the wholeness that you now can, you can serve from a position of strength and not weakness?
Well, I think it's still a work in progress, you know, just like with all of us. I just feel very blessed. I feel very blessed for every part of my life. And I thank God each and every day. I wake up every morning and I go outside and I raise my hands and I sing a little song of praise. And it's kind of my routine. And so I do believe that that part of my life was very difficult. And, you know, part that I still don't understand, quite frankly. I still don't understand why I stayed with him. But I just believe that God helped me through it, and now I use it to try to help other people. And you're right. It's given me a perspective that I understand. The other, you know, thing that I'd like to share with you is that I wasn't always pro-life. Even though I was raised Catholic, which is still mystifying to me how many of my Democratic Congress members are Catholic, but they're not pro-life. And I was kind of in the same boat. Even though the Catholic Church preaches pro-life, when I was younger, I bought into all this stuff. I bought into the lies that were said that it was like a little tadpole, it was no big deal inside of you, abortion was fine. And it wasn't till later that it was actually a Republican Party meeting I went to, and there was many times, and there was a woman there who was Catholic. She was Catholic, but she was in the Arizona Republican Party. She was very pro-life. And I went, she took me to an Arizona State Fair, and Right to Life, Arizona Right to Life had a booth there, and they had all those little miniatures of fetuses that were inside the womb at different stages and how they were really in the form of little babies.
Right.
And it really went against what I thought I was taught. I was taught it was just some, you know, cells put together, a tadpole or whatever. And so I really started investigating it. I was like, they're lying, you know. But you know what? It was the other side, the Planned Parenthood people that were lying, and they have been lying. And so that's why probably I'm such a strong person, because I've seen the other side. I've seen the other side, and I can empathize with people that are still there. I don't sit there and go hate them for, you know, or say, oh, they're terrible for not being pro-life. I mean, I understand them and I try to talk to them when possible to try to convince them that they have been lied to. And And hopefully that's a role that I will continue to play.
You're listening to the Faith and Freedom edition of Washington Watch. Congresswoman Debbie Lesko, my guest from Arizona. She represents the 8th Congressional District of the state of Arizona. Debbie, I want to transition a little bit, move a little further down the journey. As you entered into the political realm, you served in the House there in Arizona, then in the Senate in a leadership role before running for Congress. And, you know, my past experience the same, having served in office. Christians tend to look at politics as bad, as dirty. And I know I had a lot of pastor friends until I entered into politics, and they all disappeared. Just because, you know, what are you doing in politics? And so what led you to stepping into that arena?
Boy, I think it was one thing on top of the other. It started out of me volunteering in my kids' schools. And being part of the PTA, I was a fundraiser chairman for my kids in the elementary school. Then I got involved in the city that I was living in community partnerships. It was all volunteer. Then I started getting involved. I started wondering, who are these people on the ballot that I'm voting for? So I started going to Republican Party meetings, got to learn my elected officials, registered people to vote. Before you know it, I was elected as the chairman of the district's Republican Party, and then an officer of the county Republican Party, then an officer of the state Republican Party. And one thing just led right after the other. And like I said, God had a plan for me, still has a plan for me. And who knows what the future holds, but I trust him in that.
So there's very few positions you've not held, then, it sounds like, in Arizona.
Well, and what I would say to Christians is it's very important to get involved in politics.
Yes.
Because, I mean, all of our Christian values are changed by laws. You see what's happening now with the Democrats. The Democrats who control the House, we had Democrat U.S. Congress member, Daniel Lipinski, who voted consistently pro-life with Republicans, and now he was taken out. He was
taken out
by the radicals. And so he won't be here anymore. And so now I don't think there's any pro-life Democrat in the U.S. Congress anymore.
Yeah, it was not that way when I arrived here 17 years ago. There was a large contingent of pro-life Democrats, in fact, they're called the Blue Dog Democrats. They were socially conservative, not so much so on fiscal issues, but they're all gone. Many of them disappeared in 2010, and they're practically all of them have been driven out by their own party, I should say. Debbie, let me ask you this on those decisions. I mean, you've been at different levels of government, positions of leadership now in Congress. What role does faith play, your relationship with the Lord, the understanding of his word? How does that influence you in this public position you hold?
Well, it's very influential. And someone just the other day, I go out walking on Saturdays for my campaign door knocking. And also, anyway, somebody asked me, a woman asked me, how do you deal with the stress? How do you deal with the stress in your job? And I said, because I know God's in control. And it really does calm me because I know he's in control and I know that he has a plan, no matter all the craziness that is going on. But I also know that God has put me in this position for a purpose. And part of my purpose is to stand up for Christian values. And so that's why I stand up. I mean, when I was in the state legislature, in the state house, I think it was, I introduced a bill that protected Arizona businesses, said Arizona businesses that are religiously affiliated do not have to abide by the HHS mandates to supply abortion drugs and contraceptives. And it was right in the middle of the whole national debate on that. Well, National Planned Parenthood put out my home phone number and, of course, my office number. I was inundated by thousands of people from all over the country. And they were mean, nasty people calling me all kinds of names. And I was like down for a couple of weeks. I was like kind of depressed about it. But you know what? The Catholic Church actually organized a huge rally. They bussed in hundreds of people, and Bishop Olmsted came and really lifted me up and supported me in my quest for religious freedom. And, you know, so it's just so important. And I found that even though that was so difficult, I got attacked so hard, it was very difficult, that I won. You know, I won. The bill passed. It was signed into law. And then years later, the Supreme Court backed up the whole thing. And it strengthened me. It strengthened me to stand up for what I believe in and not be afraid, because that has what is what has gotten me to this point, in addition to God leading me that way. And so now I tell people, other Congress members that are afraid politically to do things, it's like, you know, you have to stand up for what you believe in, no matter what happens.
That's so good, because I was just thinking as you were sharing that David and Goliath, when David faced Goliath, you know, he said, look, I can take this guy on because the Lord's delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. And, you know, those little things, that's how God builds our faith and our confidence in him. And it doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. I mean, these things are to be great challenges, but we're not alone. And it's just like going to the gym to work out. If we want to get in better health and stronger, there's a little pain involved. There's a little it requires that we exert energy and effort, and we face resistance. And that's what the Christian walk is about. It's not about us. It's really about God and bringing glory to him.
You're right about that. And, you know, I'm also looking forward to, I'm going to the prayer walk. I think it's going to be, what, September 26th?
Yes.
And so I'm hoping that there's a bunch of people there, as well, in Washington, D.C., and, you know, all of these walks, Right to Life walk, prayer walks. It's also important. It's so important for Christians to get involved, because I can tell your listeners firsthand that the liberal, anti-Christian, anti-religious freedom policies of my Democratic colleagues, if they keep the U.S. House of Representatives under Democrat control and flip the Senate to Democrat control so that Schumer's running it, and then have Joe Biden, they are going to ram through the most radical anti-religious freedom, pro-abortion policies, and it's going to totally change everything.
Yeah,
this is such an important election.
Yes, and that's, again, why we want believers to be in these positions of influence to help shape the policies under which we live. Debbie Lesko, thanks so much for taking time out to join us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And thank you to your listeners.
All right. And thank you for standing firm for the things that we believe in, and not hiding your faith, but using it as a source of strength as you stand in these challenging and certainly uncertain times. Debbie, good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you, too.
Folks, to find out more, you can go to the website, tonyperkins.com. And, you know, one thing that Debbie mentioned is that, you remember she said that the Catholic Church kind of organized when she was at that low point to come in and hold that rally, supporting her and giving her encouragement. I mean, that's something we all can do. We can encourage those that are taking those bold, courageous stands. Number one, we can pray for them. We can send them a nice, encouraging note. And then when we see them, if we have that opportunity, just to thank them for standing for faith, family, and freedom. We all have a role to play. We all have a part. Well, folks, thanks so much for joining us today. So good to have you with us. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.